thanks for downloading the audio podcast of this week's sermon. We pray you'll be blessed and encouraged with the words you hear.
Beautiful singing. The stains of sin are lost in that life-giving flow. As we continue on this morning within this chapter, I want to focus our attention not so much for the next few minutes on the prodigal son, but I want to think this morning on the father. We tend to focus on the sin of this rebellious young lad, but let's focus our attention on the father who restored this son back into the family. When the prodigal comes to his senses and returns home, we see what God is like. You know, the father is waiting, watching, scanning the horizon, waiting for his boy to come home. And he sees that figure appear in the distance, and instantly he recognizes his son's walk. And as the father begins to run, losing his dignity in that culture, young men ran. We're told that elders didn't, but the father ran, and he throws himself upon his son, wet with tears, wrapping his arms around him, and the son tries to resist. I'm guilty. I'm unworthy. The father is having none of it, and he calls to his servant, quickly, bring the best robe, that robe of honour. Put a ring on his finger, that ring of sonship. Put shoes on his feet, shoes that were worn by the free. No longer a slave, no longer a servant. He calls for the fatted calf, the one that they prepare, and they celebrate together. The lad has come home. Why? Because he was dead. He has been brought back to life. The lost has been found, and the father's son has come home. That is the incredible good news. This is what God is like, the remarkable father. It was Spurgeon who said, "This truth here taught is this, that mercy stretches forth her hand to misery, that grace receives us as sinners, that it deals with demerit, unworthiness, worthlessness. The unrighteous, the guilty, the undeserving are the proper subjects of the infinite mercy of God." In a word, that salvation is not of merit, but of grace. Hallelujah. As you look at verse 20, I want to focus our attention for a few minutes on verse 20. We read here that the father kissed the son. And if you have a margin in your Bible, it'll say he kissed him earnestly, eagerly, or he kissed him often. What's that meaning or speaking to us this morning? It is the overflow of the love of God towards the repenting sinner. Before the kisses of love are given, this young man's on his way to his father, but he wouldn't have reached him if the father hadn't have come the major part. When you draw near to God, that's the promise this morning, that God will draw near to you. God will come to you. If you come a little way to him, and when you are yet a great way off, he will run to meet you. The father heart of our God. I don't know if the prodigal saw his father, but we are told the father saw him. The eyes of mercy are quicker than the eyes of repentance. Even the eyes of our faith can be dim compared to the eye of God's love. He's seen us in our prodigal state long before we seen him. I don't suppose that the prodigal was travelling fast. He probably was downcast. He probably was doubtful or even despondent within himself. Yes, slow can be the steps of repentance, but swift are the feet of forgiveness. And these kisses were given in a hurry, as you read, as the story is narrated, in a way that almost makes us realize that such was the case. There's a sense of haste in the very wording of it. His father ran, fell on his neck, and he kissed him. He kissed him eagerly. He did not delay for a moment, as though he was, you know, out of breath. He was not out of love. He fell on his neck and he kissed his boy. So glad to see him back home. And if you look at it, the father saw his son. There's so much in that word saw. He saw who he was. He saw where he had come from. He saw his shepherd, the swineherd's dress. He saw the filth on his hands and his feet. He saw the rags. He saw his repentant look. He saw what he had been. He saw what he was. And he saw what he soon would be. The Father saw him. God has a way of seeing us that you and I cannot understand. He sees through us. He sees our past. He sees our present. And he sees our future. When he was yet a great way off, his Father saw him. And God has compassion. It is of the Lord's mercies that we are not consumed, because his compassions, they fail not. We read that the Father ran. The compassion of God is always followed by swift movements. We read he is slow to anger, but he is quick to bless. He doesn't take any time to consider how he would show his love to the prodigals. He does not have to prepare for their return. That was done on Calvary, and that finished work. He kissed him much. Let's think on this for a few minutes this morning. What does this kissing mean? It means much love, truly felt. God never gives an expression of love without feeling it in the infinite heart. This wasn't a kiss as a Judas kiss of betrayal. This was a heartfelt kiss, a heart of love, where God is saying, you are mine. How God loves us. There is no measuring the love that he shows to us. I remember an old Sunday school chorus, wide, wide as the ocean, high as the heavens above, deep, deep as the deepest sea is my Saviour's love. Yes, I know so unworthy, still am a child of his care, for his word teaches me that his love reaches me everywhere. You are loved before the foundation of the world, and he will love you when time shall be no more. Oh, the immeasurable love of our God. This kiss also displays again the love of God. You know, has God not opened up our hearts this morning to that display of his grace? You know, it's not a drop of that love that he pours into our hearts, but it is a mighty stream of ever-flowing love. And if the lad had never noticed before, you know, when the father kissed him much, the prodigal knew, and he had that assurance that his father loved him. If he had doubts before, here was the clear perception of it, that God reveals to us that witness, that assurance, that blessed assurance that we belong to him. It also meant this kiss that it was much forgiveness. Yes, the lad had much sin to confess, but before he came to any detail of it, the father had forgiven him. And the words of the hymn, my sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin, not in part, but the whole. It is nailed to his cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord, oh my soul. To think that Christ should have washed me from my sins in his own blood. And from that point of view, those kisses meant first, your sin has gone. They will never more be mentioned against you. And I say, come to my heart, my son. Thou hast grieved me sore. Thou hast angered me, yes. But as a thick cloud, I have blotted out thy transgressions, and as a cloud, thy sins. That kiss also was a kiss of restoration, full restoration. The prodigal was going to say to his father, make me a hired servant. You know, in the far country, he had resolved that request. But we also see that the father had stopped him, and he'd said to him, you are now my son, my son. The cross has spoken. I am forgiven. The King of Kings calls me his own. Beautiful Savior, I'm yours forever. Jesus Christ, he is my living hope. And God says to us this morning, they shall be my people and I will be their God. These kisses also were kisses of exceeding joy at the Father's heart towards his Son. It was an overflow of gladness that couldn't constrain his delight that his Son had come back to his Father's house. And you know, folks, the Lord thy God in the midst of thee is mighty. The Bible tells us that he will save. He will rejoice over you with joy. He will rest in his love. He will joy over you with singing. Think of the eternal singing this morning and remember that it is because you came to him as a wandering sinner that he sings. He joys in the return of the prodigal, and all heaven shares in that joy. In the previous parable we read there, when the lost coin was found, likewise I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner that repents. And as we consider all this and our future, what did God, would God say? A new heart also will I give you. A new spirit will I put within you. I will take out that stony heart of your flesh and I will give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit into you and cause you to walk in my statutes. You shall keep my judgments and do them. I am Jehovah Rapha, the Lord that healeth thee, who forgiveth all thine iniquities, who healeth all thy diseases. I will lift you up. I will provide for all your needs. No good thing will I withhold from them that walk uprightly. The promises of God's book that are for us as sons, as daughters of the living God. God pours out his love, a love of forgiveness, restoration, joy, comfort, witness, and that strong and blessed assurance that we are the sons and the daughters of the living God. We also see here that he clothed them. Yes, the lad came to him in verse 22 in rags, but the father clothed him. He didn't just clothe him, he adorned him. He said to the servants who attended unto their master, he says, this my son has come home. And they said to him, bring forth the best robe and put it on him. The worst old clothes in the house might have been what he should have been served with, but no, the father calls not for a coat. It's a robe, the garment of princes, the best robe. And there's this double emphasis here, the principal robe, and that is indeed the righteousness of Christ. That is our robe this morning, our principal robe that we are clothed with as the children of the living God, having put on the Lord Jesus Christ, that robe of righteousness. And Isaiah, it tells us there, that garment of salvation. That's how we come to this table this morning. He hath clothed me in the garments of salvation. He has indeed arrayed me with a robe of righteousness. The new nature is the best robe and sanctified throughout. He was made sin for us. That's how this is possible. God had made him to be sin for us. He who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. The best robe, people of God, it has been placed on you this morning. What a demonstration of the Father's love to you and protection to you, his people. He clothed them. We also see that he put a ring on his hand. What did this ring mean? It was a signet ring. The arms of the family and a token of him being owned as a branch of the family. The lad now had identity. And what of us as believers this morning? What's our identity in him? It's the earnest of the Spirit by whom we are sealed unto the day of redemption. Signet, that ring, as it spoke of who the lad now was, it's the Holy Spirit living, dwelling within us, that we indeed, having that witness, that we are the children of the living God. We are sealed. We are sanctified. We are adorned. We are dignified in the power as a family member belonging to our God. He put a ring on his hand as that constant reminder, as that constant remembrance that he belonged to his Father. The Father's kindness, that he never again would forget it. That ring was there representing the riches that you and I have in Christ, the authority that is ours to live and believe in the name of Jesus. As many as received him, to them he gave the right to become the children of God, to those who believe in his name. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of the living God. Do you not know that you have been bought with a price? Therefore, we are told to glorify God in our body and in your spirit, which are God's. He also put sandals on his feet, and I'm nearly finished. Sandals on his feet. The prodigal returned home without shoes. And, you know, in Bible times, we read there that it was only servants and slaves who went barefoot. And perhaps he had journeyed all that distance back to his father. His feet were probably in an awful state, sore from that journey. And when the father seen him, he ordered those shoes to be brought and put on him. What did that signify? That he was no longer a servant, but he was a son with all those entitlements. And if we go back to verse 15, we read there that the prodigal had joined himself to a citizen of that country. He had come into slavery. Once a slave, his sandals would have been taken from him to prevent him from running away. And you know, folks, what's this speaking to us this morning of? You know, when we are living without God, we are slaves, because there is no freedom to be found without him this morning. Living without Christ as our Savior means that you are living on your own merits, under that condemnation that you bring on yourself through sin. There is no freedom in sin. That is the road that leads to death. That's the wages of sin. It is death. But this morning our focus is on the gift of God, which is eternal life and Jesus Christ our Lord. And when we come to Christ, when we accept him as our Savior, his righteousness becomes our righteousness in the sight of God. You become an heir to all that Christ owns for you as a child of God. You are no longer a slave, but a child of God. And Jesus spoke of this when he said, "Most assuredly, I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin, and a slave does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free," hallelujah, "you are free indeed." John 8 and 34. So why can the child of God wear the sandals? Because once you place your faith and trust in him, it is then that you understand the joy that comes through knowing him, where there is no shame, where there is no guilt, where there is no condemnation. And this is love without condemnation, the love of our Father that he displays and pours into our hearts. It was the psalmist who wrote those words, "He brought me up out of that horrible pit, out of the miry clay, and where did he set our feet? It was upon a rock, and it was there that he established our going." Sandals have been put on our feet, affirming our sonship, affirming our family with God, our connection with him. And can I say this morning as you finish, in God, with sandals on our feet, with a ring in our hand, and with a robe, you are at home. That's your purpose. That's your destiny as a believer, secure in him. We're coming to worship the Lord and the breaking of bread. And let me remind you of these words again. The Father said to the servants, "Bring forth that best robe and put it on him." You're clothed in the garments of salvation. He put a ring on his hand, our identity in him this morning, and shoes on his feet, that we belong to him as sons, as daughters to the living God, to praise, to honour, and to magnify his great name for all that he has done for us. Amen.
Thanks for listening to this week's podcast. If you would like any more information, have a look at our website at www.ballymoneyelam.com.